Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Doctor of Management Podcasters. This is our third series, and I am Daria Bailey.
I am Mark Brown.
I'm Cordell Francis.
I'm Anu Sherman.
And I'm Frida Brazel.
Welcome, everybody. Today's question is dictatorial versus servant leadership. Two ends of the leadership spectrum, which is more effective and why? So my first thought was, what is servant leadership? Can anybody, you know, jump in and tell me what you think servant leadership is? Because without looking at a definition, I think servant leadership is having the ability to put service first. Whether you're serving the constituents, whether you're serving your organization, whoever your customer is, your job as an individual is to serve whoever your customer is.
I think servant leadership is a collaborative management style. It is unlike authoritarian or dictatorial leadership, and it allows for a democratic type process of leadership.
Okay.
When I think about service leadership, I think about people that are in church and that are in nonprofit organizations where, aside putting aside their agendas, they pull together the gender of the population that they are servicing and work towards meeting those. I think about it as other people's areas of concern and you driving the work to address them.
So I looked up some examples of dictatorial leadership. Can anybody think off the top of their head who's a dictatorial leader? Come on.
I'm going to say
Trump.
I'm going to say
Kim Jong-un.
I'm going to say Vladimir Putin.
What are the advantages to being that kind of leader?
Nobody challenges you.
But the disadvantage to that is that there is no free communication between you and your subordinates. That means it's your way or no way. So how does that hurt an organization?
There's no exchange of information, so there's no growth. It's going to work the way the leader wants it to work.
But what about organizations that cannot, you know, conform to a certain leadership style of leadership, like the military?
I knew you were going to say that. The military. Why can't you?
Because if somebody comes out there and they say they can't do something when it has to be done, you got to make them do it. Because all lives may depend on that person doing his job correctly.
But is it you all's training? Because aren't military people trained to serve first, ask questions later? You follow orders.
We do follow orders.
Okay.
But not everybody wants to follow orders. You have to sometimes be made to follow those orders.
Okay.
So the argument can be made that in the military, that you can be a servant leader. You can be a general who really cares about the troops. And that puts the troops first. And because of your care and concern for the troops, and the fact that you put them first, they then put you first. And there are some examples of that. I believe General MacArthur was considered a servant leader because he was always about the troops. And he cared so deeply about the troops that they felt it. And they were willing to go to the ends of the earth for him.
Well, that's not always the case. General MacArthur, from what I understand, if you didn't follow his leadership style, you were severely punished. And those who did, you know, they were rewarded.
I think that when you are a deferred leader, there are different categories of that.
Right. Yeah.
But one, but you're driving the direction, but you're not letting anybody else have input. Then there's the other part where you guys think about it, some of the dictators in terms of saying what they want to have happen in their house. And they allow some level of input from the constituents. So I think that there's degrees of dictatorial leadership. And to answer your question, I believe that there are several active leaders that are taking on this dictatorial leadership. And some of them are doing it in a way where they cut off communication or they cut off the opportunity for to exchange information ideas. And I think that's where it gets murky, is what type of dictatorial leadership are you?
Okay, but see, and when I first started this question, I think we had posed the question earlier about who was a better leader, Trump or was it Obama? And if you look at the two, I think Trump has a dictatorial leadership style, where in my opinion, Obama had more of a servant leadership style. For me as a follower, I felt that he was always very compassionate about the things that happened in the country. It was always the people first. He wanted to make the life of the people better. And in this administration that I'm seeing now, it's more of money, 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 jobs, jobs, jobs. Mm-hmm. But isn't that also putting the people first in some sort of kind of way? Because what you're saying is, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, self-preservation may be everyone's ultimate goal, but you have to satisfy those lower level needs. Eating and having a job is a need that needs to be. Safety is something that is important too. So how about you need to balance your style of leadership? There are moments when you have to be a dictator, but there are also moments when you can benefit from being a servant leader.
Of course, like we said before, the situation should dictate what kind of leadership you're going to have. So I don't think that any one of us has one specific style of leadership. We all vary, go back and forth between them, depending on the situation.
And I think the key here is to be able to be flexible based on the situation, whether the environment is calling for a certain kind of leadership. The same person who has the ability to be a dictatorial leader should also be able to serve as a servant leader depending on the circumstances. So I don't think there's one size fits all. I think it depends on environment, it depends on circumstances. And so that flexibility has to be there in order to change the way that you lead the people depending on the circumstances that you're facing.
So when we say that, and we go back to this question, which do you think is better or more sustainable, a dictator-type leadership or a servant-style leadership? Which is more sustainable?
You say more sustainable? In what way?
Which is going to just last longer? Which is going to be better for...
More effective.
More effective for...
In a working environment. Which one is more effective?
Yes.
I think the best leaders have to have a balance of it.
But if you only had the choice of one or the other, which one would be more...
Well, I think it depends on the person you're dealing with, the situation you're dealing with, the environment you're dealing with. You cannot say that one employee can do best, in any of the situations. Yeah. It depends on who you're dealing with. Some people need to have a very structured and a very lean organization in which they really thrive. While others want to be left alone and they can grow and they can, achieve their goals.
So a leader's ultimate goal, is it not, is to move everyone towards some common goal together, correct?
Yes.
So if that's the goal of the leader, in order to get your followers to follow you, wouldn't it be more beneficial if I followed you out of a sense of dedication and commitment instead of fear? Because what happens is once I no longer fear you and I no longer fear that you can do something to me, then I may not want to follow you. Whereas if you have that servant leadership kind of affluence about you, where I as an employee feel that you have my interest at best while we're doing whatever we need to do for our customer, I will continue to follow you. I think that's the risk that you run in being a dictator in any organization, is that sooner or later, people are no longer going to fear you as a dictator.
Let me ask a question. Is it power that really determines that? If somebody has the power, that will allow them to be a dictator, versus if you don't have power, you have to go for that servant leadership style.
So I hear what you're saying, Anissa. I think if you switched out the words dictator for just authoritarian, I think it has a different feel to it, but it's the same thing. And the whole idea behind an authoritative rule or leadership style is that I don't really allow a collaborative decision-making process. There's no give and take, no back and forth, no room for other ideas other than the one that I came up with. And I think that's the problem here, is that that people who manage based on what they know will never know more. And they'll only get what they've always gotten. And so I think that that is at the core of it, the problem with it, because they can't see beyond what they know.
I think that's a great perspective of that. If you bring in culture or gender into it, that brings a whole different way of looking at it, right? I mean, I think when there are weaker, say, females, or in some countries where they're very poor populations, mm-hmm. then they look up to or would like to have someone powerful, mm-hmm. someone who can tell them what to do, mm-hmm. and they'll just follow them. That's what they're looking for. They don't want someone who looks weak or someone who's asking them what is the right way to do it, or I want to just help you. They just want them to lead in a way to bring them out of their poverty, out of their, and they look up to people who have that kind of aura about them of being powerful and strong. And so they prefer some leaders that has that kind of, you know, position or ability to kind of take it and run and lead them all in the direction that they want to go. Mm-hmm.
If I can offer, you know, an example of, you know, one of the most best known American servant leaders is, you know, they always come up with George Washington. And he was considered a servant leader because he cared so deeply for the troops. He led in a time where there were no resources, where there was very little hope, but he motivated the troops because of his love for them and his care for the country, the hope for what we could be, where we could go, what we could do. And his heart and his passion drove the troops to continue to fight for him and to do things that they knew would put their lives at risk, and they knew many of them would march out onto that battlefield and die. And I mean, I think that's probably the greatest test of your commitment to your leader is to march onto a battlefield and know that you're not coming back. I mean, and they walked out there, you know, with full knowledge, and they did it for their general because they knew he cared for them, and they worked. They didn't get paid. They didn't have shoes on their feet. They worked in cold, relentless conditions, but, you know, they did it because they believed in the general. They believed that he was going to lead them somewhere that was going to be great and that they could do it under his leadership.
And that's exactly the same as with Mahatma Gandhi and with Nelson Mandela. Go ahead, Frida.
I was going to say that, you know, Fidel, you talked about service leadership, caring for their people. Are we proposing that dictators don't care for their people?
No, but I think that the element of servant leadership is that your people know that they are part of the equation and that they matter to you and they're not just pawns in the game. And I think that the problem with autocratic leadership is that when you do everything all on your own, I'm just a pawn in your game and you're just going to tell me what I'm going to do and I'm just supposed to do it blindly because you're the leader. And I think that that is where the problem comes in with autocratic leadership.
And I think that servant leadership, you get kind of an empathetic ear in dealing with your leader. We talked about this earlier. I said sometimes you get the feeling that you have to go through the situation in order to understand what your employees are going through, and that's not necessarily the truth. I think as a leader, you have to be empathetic to those in the situations of those that are going on within your organization. I heard somebody talk about emotional intelligence earlier today, which is why I actually chose that topic, because emotional intelligence means that you are a manager who is aware of the emotions and how emotions affect decisions in an organization. And what the theory behind emotional intelligence is that I'm empathetic to your situation or to your plight. I'm empathetic to how my employees feel in a working environment. Now, like Mark said, given the situation, it might not always be time for that because yes, there are certain environments where leaders don't have time to deal with how you feel.
Yes. Exactly.
And you have to say to your people, at this moment, I have no time for discussion about feelings. We need to move from where we are to where we need to be.
Yeah.
But I don't think the implication was that dictators don't care, but they don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, they really don't. They don't. Yeah. And you know what, with them too, the buck stops there. Yeah. Whatever goes on, good, bad, or indifferent, when you are a dictator and you have made that decision, everything comes back to you and you can't kind of collaborate with anyone else about the decision.
So I think dictatorial leadership, I had to come back to it. I think the term dictatorial leadership gives the impression that, you know, like when we talk about dictators, we're talking about ruthless, you know, heartless people who do really bad things. And I think that authoritarian leadership is probably a better term for what we're talking about, because like Darius said, you can care about your people but still be, you know, all about me sort of leader. But I think that the best leaders have to know when to exercise authoritarian rule and when to exercise servant leadership skills.
And true to your point is, as we're sitting here having this discussion, the first person that popped up to my mind was Bill Belichick. He does not care about his football players' emotions and how they're feeling. You can tell when you go into a press conference, he will answer words in a one sentence, a one-word sentence, and be done with it. But then I think about people like Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs was a Christian. He used to always have a soft tone, and it worked for him back in that day. And I think you as a leader have to figure out what works best for you.
You have to be careful, I think, when people start equating empathy with weakness.
Yes.
Talk about that.
And that's a risk that leadership runs into.
We talked, because we equated that to Obama, but we talked about how people saw him as a weak leader, but he really wasn't. He was just a gentle leader. Empathetic.
Right. But it has so much to do with circumstances. If you're in an environment when people are really hand-to-mouth, are very much suffering, don't have jobs, don't have much to go on in life, they sometimes are willing to have a leader that's probably going to tell them how to dig themselves out of this and get food to the table. They will probably choose someone who may not have the same kind of empathy that you and I would like to see, because we have our basics, like you were talking about, Derry, about the Maslow's law. When your basic needs are fulfilled, then you have give yourself the ability to look at bigger things.
Yeah.
But when you look at people who are really, like, you know, at the bottom of the rung and are, you know, dying for either drugs, right? These days it's the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
People are dying left and right with the opioid crisis. And they are so desperate and they're in such bad situation, they just want to get out of that. I don't think people are necessarily looking for someone empathetic or someone who is serving them, but they want someone who just can take this and run and get them out to somewhere where they can start living their life.
I think, though, that the problem is that with authoritarian leadership, you have the element of high risk, high reward. Because if people are hand to mouth, things are really that bad, and you are an authoritarian leader and you're just charging forward, if it works, if it all works out, you get all the praise. You did, you saved us, you know? But if it didn't work and this thing crashes and burns, oh, it is all you, buddy. You get all the blame.
Yes.
And so it's high risk, high reward, and that whoever chooses that style has to understand that there is that element, and they have to be willing to accept
it.
You're
talking about authoritarian or dictatorial.
Okay.
Now, isn't that the same for servant leader, or can he spread the blame, or is he ultimately responsible for what happens and what does not happen?
I think it's less. I think that it's less high risk, high reward, because it is a collaborative. It tends to be more of a collaborative effort, so you're getting inputs from multiple people. So you have less of a risk of this thing failing, because you would, in the best scenario, have the best and brightest in all of these different areas who are feeding you, giving you information, knowledge. And so, you know, someone like a Trump who says, I'm going from the gut. And, you know, he just throws it out, then he makes a decision that the rest of us thinks is dumb as dirt. And if it fails, we're like, okay, well, you know, your gut chose, right? But if you went with the traditional model of government, you had your Secretary of State, your Department of Defense, you had everybody on it, and everybody's feeding you, and you're seriously taking into consideration all of the inputs that you're getting, and you're making a thoughtful decision, and you're considering those troops who are going to have to go fight.
So you're getting a more informed decision.
So the risk is a little bit less for failure.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But as a leader, when you're at the top, you're at the top.
Exactly.
But
always stops with the leader.
The way that it's perceived and the way that the world will judge you is a little different if you're authoritarian.
Okay.
And also, if you do fail, there'll be people who are willing to kind of pick up and go with it, because they have all been a part of that decision.
I agree with that.
All right.
I'll say that it's very interesting, because as a new head, it's very situational. And I think that there is, you know, certain degrees of either being a authoritarian or co-leadership, or it's very much based on who you're trying to lead at, is the way that I would look at it. But, you know, it doesn't work well with people that don't want that. And it works well with some people that do. That's how I see it.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. We look forward to hearing you on our next podcast. I can do a little feedback from today and say the one thing we learned is that servant leaders have empathy for those who follow them, whereas dictators, they have a vision to see the job done no matter the task. We thank you for joining us today and we look forward to catching you on the next session. Enjoy.
That was good.
Did we go over? You guys were good.
Yeah, we were.
You guys are good.
We went over a little bit there.
That's okay. Good. That's okay.
You like that?
What a dumb topic.
More to edit.
Yeah. I hope we got that.
We were at 20 minutes and like 19 seconds.
Oh, wow. Here, come in so I can see if we got this. Yes, dear. I'm sorry.
That was a good discussion.
I'm going to try to get the power cord for that.
Okay.
What's our next one? Cordell, is it yours?
I guess it's me.
It's, is technology making life better for managers? I like that topic. What did you think when you did the research on it? What did you come up with in terms of?
So I thought technology has completely changed the way that we do business. When I consider, you know, the 50s, 60s, even the 70s or early 80s, yeah. when we were all paper based.
Right. But you know, when you're dealing in an organization, dealing with people, you need some face-to-face, and that has lessened.
Yes.
Because there's more email, there's more, yep. You know, everything else. So yep. That can kind of work.